It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. A number of states around the country are loosening or attempting to loosen child labor restrictions. Four states have passed laws that roll back limits on teen workers. At least eight more states, including Wisconsin, are considering a variety of laws that would make it easier for minors to work longer and later hours or in fields where minors are typically barred, such as construction and logging. Similar legislation has been put forward on the federal level. We're taking a look at loosening child labor laws around the country, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think teenagers should be able to work longer, later hours with or without parental permission? Do you think teens should be allowed to work in more hazardous occupations like construction? Wisconsin bill on the table would allow teens as young as 14 to serve alcohol at restaurants. What are your thoughts on that? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. John Fleiter is an associate professor of political science at Kansas State University and author of the book Child Labor in America, The Epic Legal Struggle to Protect Children. He recently wrote an article on the topic in The Conversation. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob, for inviting me.
John, before we dig into some particular changes in states around the country, what do you see driving this move in so many different states to change these child labor laws?
Well, I think there are a number of explanations. It's not just relatively recent that we've seen attempts to weaken child labor laws. The movement kind of begins in the 80s and 90s with the Reagan administration and the Bush administration. That would be George H.W. Bush, with, you know, attempts to kind of weaken the laws that were in place. They weren't very successful. But around the turn of the century, early 2000s, you know, we start seeing a more, I think, organized effort by conservative think tanks and libertarian think tanks to kind of challenge labor laws, which have been on the books for about 100 years, and, you know, and certainly in states, and then a little bit more recent in under federal law since 1938. There's that. It's not just a relatively new development. It's been going on for a couple of decades now. And I think another kind of force that's promoting this is, you know, the tight labor market. Conservatives, libertarians are kind of using this situation to kind of weaken child labor laws, you know, allow children to work jobs and maybe fill some of these positions. And you also see that kind of connected to the parental rights movement, where the rationale for weakening some of the laws is tied to, like, let's get the government out of the business of telling, you know, parents whether their kids could work or not, and let parents make that decision. So it's a movement that's been going on for some time, but we have, you know, a situation now where, you know, groups and certain officials are taking advantage of that and trying to weaken those laws.
Let's get into the states that have made changes. Now, four states, Arkansas, Iowa, New Jersey, New Hampshire, which law changes that have actually passed do you have, are you paying most attention to? That you have the most maybe concerns about?
Well, I'm concerned about Arkansas for one, because they eliminated the parental consent form for minors to work. That would be, you know, 16 and under, sorry, 15 and under, you know, to work. They'd have to get a permit signed by their parents. And federal law doesn't actually require that, but most states do have parental, you know, consent forms that act as a check on making sure that, you know, parents are monitoring when their children are working, where they're working, what the conditions are in terms of these jobs. And Arkansas eliminated that requirement under the rationale that they want to give parents more freedom, more rights in determining whether their kids could work. The irony there, or at least I think the hypocrisy, is that it actually undermines parental rights, because it eliminates, you know, the role that the parents play in giving consent on whether their children or their child will work. And it allows for more exploitation to take place in terms of employers who might want to work kids in longer hours and in more dangerous positions.
And talk about the changes being made to those limits on the number of hours, the lateness of hours. What kind of changes are we seeing either passed in states or proposed in states?
Yes, under federal law, minors can work, and we're talking about, 17 and under, they can work during school hours when school is in session, but not past 7 p.m. So a couple of states have passed laws that allow minors to work until 9 o'clock at night, and that's in direct conflict with federal law. So there's actually a bill that's been introduced in Congress to change that and expand the federal regulation from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. That has not been passed and is not likely to pass in our divided Congress. So, that's kind of one direct challenge to federal regulations, federal child labor regulations, is expanding the number of hours that minors could work when school is in session. The argument against, having them work longer hours is that they get tired. They don't perform as well in school. It can undermine their academic performance. And, it might encourage some of them to drop out of school.
We're talking to John Fleiter, Associate Professor of Political Science at Kansas State University, looking at child labor laws in the United States. A handful of states around the country have passed changes, rolling back current protections. Other states have proposals in the works. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Do you want some of these child labor standards rolled back a little bit? What concerns do you have about that idea? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Willem and Colfax, John, called in and mentioned a story he's seen in Wisconsin here. You may have seen it as well. A sawmill operator, Florence Hardwoods, investigated by the Labor Department after the death of a 16-year-old who was working there. This was just this last summer. We also saw violations at a company that did cleaning at meat packing facilities. That was also a story here in Wisconsin. Now, these were in violation of existing laws, which brings me to another big part of the story, enforcement. For the laws that states, the federal government have on the works, how strong an enforcement system do we have?
That's a good question. Under federal regulations, 16 and 17-year-olds are prohibited from working. Well, all minors, but 16 and 17-year-olds generally have a little more flexibility in the types of jobs that they can work, but they cannot work in hazardous occupations, as identified by the Secretary of Labor. And in non-farm employment, there are 18 HOs, or hazardous occupations. And, working in a sawmill is one of those. And in agricultural employment, there are 11 HOs. When it comes to enforcement, that's been, a major challenge. The Department of Labor, over the past 10 years, has lost staff and attorneys. There are fewer regulators to monitor and enforce what's going on in some of these companies. So, that's one problem. Also, the fines don't seem to be enough to deter some of these companies from, illegally hiring, children as employees. Currently, the fine is just over $15,000 per child labor violation. And there are some bills introduced in Congress right now to increase that tenfold, to at least $150,000. So, if those pass, if that, that type of legislation passes, that would, I think, provide more effective enforcement, at least maybe a more effective deterrent in employing some children in some of these more dangerous, hazardous occupations.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. David is with us in Phillips. David, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. I understood that children who work for a family business, like a business your father or mother owns, the laws don't apply to those children. And so I wonder if there's any data about, the history of how those kids do that are allowed to work in a family business. First of all, is that correct? And then secondly, what's the history of their matriculation through school or whatever.
David, thanks for the law. John, does the law treat that family business differently, where if you're working for your folks, the limits may not apply?
That's true in some situations. They still cannot work in the, you know, the hazardous occupations that are off limits to anyone 17 and under. There is a little bit more flexibility in other types of jobs, and certainly in agricultural positions. That's one of the areas where federal law isn't as, you know, extensively, it doesn't extensively regulate those situations. And in fact, there's been a bill introduced for the past 20 years. And I think it's been introduced at least 10 times to tighten some of the federal regulations where children are working on mostly agricultural farms. When we're talking about family-owned farms, there is some flexibility there. I don't have statistics on mm-hmm. how often children in those situations are injured on the job, or to what extent they do not do well in school or drop out of school.
David, thanks a lot for calling in. We're talking to Kansas State University political scientist John Fleiter about why states, including Wisconsin, have put forward proposals to relax child labor protections. Four states have passed some rollbacks. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think we're seeing a push to loosen child labor protections these days? What are your thoughts on the argument that loosening child labor laws could help with labor shortages as a parent or maybe a young person yourself? What do you think of the laws as they exist now? Do you want to have more hours available to work for kids, later hours, a wider variety of jobs, even though they might be hazardous in some way or another? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our conversation about a number of states' decisions to loosen up some child labor laws. Our guest is John Fleiter, Associate Professor of Political Science at Kansas State University. He co-wrote a piece on the topic at The Conversation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think teens should have more leeway when it comes to working? Employers more leeway to hire them? Have more hours, wider variety of jobs? What worries do you have? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Kelsey is with us from Iowa here in Wisconsin today. Kelsey, hello.
Hi there. Thanks for having my call.
What did you want to bring up, Kelsey?
Well, one of the things that we send down here in Iowa is that because parents' salaries aren't keeping up with inflation and the rising cost in the economy, giving the children or the youth, rather, the opportunity to go and give a job is supplementing the kids' income. So instead of them being able to come to their parents and say, hey, can I have $20 to go to the movie? The parents don't have that. This gives them the opportunity to go and get that. Now, while I'll agree with the idea behind that and making sure that they still have the opportunity to learn financial independence, the problem that we ran into with our own higher teen children was that if they went out and found that job, even as parents, if we try to put some of those restrictions on to say, yeah, they're not going to be working until like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, the businesses would really be like, well, listen, it's all or nothing. If we're going to hire them on, it's going to be in this role, or we can't hire them. So that was one of the challenges that we ran into. Are you seeing any of that, John, or do you know if any of the data is being collected on why parents want to send their kids out to get a job?
Kelsey, thanks a lot for the call. John, Kelsey, seeing some pros and cons here. What do you think?
Well, it's a good point. And what's interesting about some of the laws is that they don't appear to be really driven by parents, you know, putting pressure on state legislatures saying, you know, well, we need more flexibility in whether our kids can work, you know, after school in certain jobs. A lot of the impetus of this legislation is coming from conservative think tanks. There's one down in Florida that is behind a number of these laws, and they have lobbying arms. You know, they're helping the officials in the state legislatures draft the laws and then helping them get the laws passed. So it doesn't seem to be a more of a grassroots movement where parents are saying to state legislators or governors, hey, you know, we want our kids to work longer hours or, you know, at different jobs. It does seem to be more of an interest group kind of instigated movement to just kind of weaken government regulations, covering child labor. I think parents are going to have to decide, like what Arkansas did in removing the parental consent form. You know, parents have to decide if this is good for their kids. You know, I think they've got to balance the need to be in school and stay in school and do well versus earning some extra money, you know, working at a fast food restaurant extra hours. So,
Kelsey, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Mike joins us now in Madison. Mike, hello.
Hello. Well, I take a look at the demographics of the U.S., and it shows with the big retirement of the baby boomers, a hole left where employers need to fill that. And I think what they're trying to do, in my opinion, is to backfill that void with lower-paid younger workers, which has the result of really suppressing the wages. But also, in my opinion, if they were to simply pay higher wages, they could entice some of the earlier, the younger baby boomers to come back out of retirement and to fill that void that exists. So I see this as a organized effort by the business trade unions, trade organizations that maybe they're trying to suppress wages and not have to pay as much to get people back into these roles.
Mike, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. And John, I understand from your piece, I mean, this has been a concern since child labor laws started, that bringing younger workers in was a way to keep wages down.
Oh, yes. In fact, that's why labor unions lobbied against, child labor exploitation, because they understood that it took jobs away from, adult workers, and that it depressed wages. Because in the market, especially, during the period where the child labor issue was most prominent, because it was a policy issue in the United States for about 100 years, roughly from just before the Civil War until the 1930s, when Congress finally passed the Fair Labor Standards Act, 1938, women were always paid less than men and children were paid less than women. So if you want to reduce labor costs, you hired children and you paid them as little as possible. And it's always, been a problem in terms of depressing wages.
Thanks a lot for that call. Thanks a lot for that call, Sarah. Cammie joins us now in Ladysmith. Cammie, hi.
So my question centers around, we have the 7 p.m. for the evening hours on a school day, but what about the start time, such as 5 a.m. in the morning for someone that has to prepare foods?
Cammie, have you run into that with one of your kids or somebody you know, or are you just curious about the start time?
No, we get several people that request they could come in before school starts to work as well.
Now, I have a write-up of the Wisconsin laws in front of me. It looks like here can't work, at least on a school day, can't start earlier than 7 a.m. here in Wisconsin. John, is this a common issue, concerns about not the how late they can work, but how early they can work on a school day?
Yes, there are, there are restrictions on the start of work, and that can vary a little bit from state to state. 7 a.m. in Wisconsin.
All right. Thanks for the call.
That's because that can be just as much of an impact on their education as working late at night, is getting up too early.
John, thanks a lot for that call. John, I want to talk about the future here a little. In that piece I mentioned in the conversation, you and your co-author point out that some of these laws, and particularly those in Iowa, appear to run afoul of federal law. So what are you watching for next on that?
Well, something has to give because, you know, under the Constitution and the Supremacy Clause, federal law is supreme. When state law conflicts with federal law, you know, federal law is supposed to override and trump what the states are doing. The thing about child labor regulations, though, is that, you know, it's a mix of both federal law and state law. Some in some areas, you know, federal law is kind of weak. It doesn't cover or require the fact that, you know, parents should have a consent form signed to allow their kid to work. That's something that the states require because it's believed to be a good thing, you know, to have that little check where, you know, parents can at least say that they want to allow their child to work, you know, at a certain place, for certain hours. So there are some loopholes in some areas where federal law does not reach, and that's where the states step in. And for, you know, most of our history, the states maintain pretty decent child labor laws. But, you know, recently we're seeing kind of this push to weaken them, which I think is concerning.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today. That was John Fleiter, Associate Professor of Political Science at Kansas State University. He talked to us about his recent piece in The Conversation about efforts to loosen up child labor laws in states around the country. A related question for you. Love to hear about your first job, your memories of working maybe as a teen yourself, hopefully within the bounds of the law. Tell us about it. Email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. We get a couple stories. We could share them next week here on Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.